NSTA reviewer Jacob Blickenstaff reminds us that scientists bring passion to their work too.
Nerdy kid that I was, I watched Carl Sagan's PBS show Cosmos, and I followed with great interest the images returned from the two Voyager probes that toured the outer planets in the 1970s and 80s. Seeing close-up pictures of Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, and learning about fascinating phenomena such as volcanoes on Io, one of Jupiter's moons, excited me about science. Though I did not become an astronomer or planetary scientist, teaching students about the solar system was one of my favorite parts of ninth grade general science. If I was still teaching a general science course, I'd certainly use Saturn's Embrace in my classroom. This film is a recording of a lecture by Dr. Carolyn Porco, a member of the imaging team from the Voyager program I mentioned earlier. In the decades since Voyager, Porco has continued her study of the outer planets and is a lead scientist on the Cassini-Huygens mission to Saturn. She is an expert on Enceladus, one of Saturn's moons, and planetary rings in general. In 2010, Porco was awarded the Carl Sagan Medal by the American Astronomical Society for her work communicating science to the public. The lecture she gave upon accepting that award has been made into the film Saturn's Embrace, wherein Porco reports on some of the most dramatic results from the Cassini-Huygens mission, accompanied by breathtaking images. There are several reasons I think this video is worth showing in science classes. First, it is important to provide girls and young women interested in physical sciences with role models. Porco is an example of a very successful woman in a field where men significantly outnumber women. Second, in sharing her work, Porco emphasizes the importance of storytelling and imagination in science, two kinds of scientific thinking we don't often hear about. Too many people think of science as a repetition of a cookie-cutter method, devoid of creativity or inspiration. This lecture conveys the wonder and beauty of planetary science. Finally, Porco uses the idea of applying the same model at a variety of scales several times in the lecture, a concept and technique students should take away from their secondary science education. The same rules of physics that produced our solar system are in evidence when we look at Saturn and its moons and rings, and even when we examine the shape and formation of galaxies. Porco devotes much of her lecture to discussing two of Saturn's moons, Titan and Enceladus. Titan is larger than Earth's moon and has an atmosphere consisting primarily of nitrogen. While we have known about the nitrogen atmosphere for decades, the Cassini mission found large bodies of liquid hydrocarbons on the surface. In fact, gases like methane and propane are present on Titan in solid, liquid, and gas phases, much as water is on the Earth. The Huygens probe landed on Titan in January of 2005, the most distant landing of any object launched from Earth. Huygens took pictures of the surface of Titan and relayed them back to Earth via the Cassini craft. Dr. Porco points out that the landing of Huygens on Titan should have been very big news, as it was the result of years of cooperation between the United States and Europe, and was an amazing technical achievement. I knew a bit about Titan before watching Saturn's Embrace, though I learned a great deal from the lecture. Enceladus, on the other hand, was a moon of Saturn I knew almost nothing about. The first thing to notice about Enceladus is the lack of impact craters. That means that some process or processes are going on to recycle the surface of the moon and erase old craters. The Cassini probe found that the surface of Enceladus is very geologically active and consists primarily of water ice. In areas where the ice is fracturing, the surface is much warmer, and jets of water ice containing simple organic compounds are shot out of the moon. These features are much like geysers on Earth, but around Saturn they send up material that forms a new ring. The water ejected into space is not pure, it contains salts as well as organic compounds. So, strange as it sounds, Enceladus has features in common with the very early Earth. The Cassini probe is not equipped to look for life in the moons of Saturn, but a future mission could be designed to look for such evidence. Porco concludes her lecture with the idea that if life arose in two different places in our solar system and did so independently, that makes it very likely that life has arisen in other places in the universe, and probably many, many times. I think this is one of the most exciting questions that scientists actually investigate. Is there life elsewhere in the universe? If there is, how could we find it? How might that life be similar to life on Earth? Though discussion of extraterrestrial life can easily go off topic into unidentified flying objects or alien abduction, Saturn's Embrace can help keep the conversation grounded in real science.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.
To address that particular question, but in the meantime, I invite you to imagine the day when we might journey to the Saturnian system and visit the Enceladus Interplanetary Geyser Park just because we can. Thank you.